Welcome to What Is It About the Weather, where once a week we get together and explore the many ways that weather kind of nudges itself into our lives. Sometimes a little more forceful nudge, right? I'm your host, Mark Jelinek, and this week we're going to be exploring, is weather the reason I have the flu? Now I know, there's a lot of you, this is probably very, very topical right now as you're dealing with the flu. For others, you're thinking, I'm in the middle of summer, not a big deal. But I promise you, we're going to cover a global perspective on this. So all you listeners around the globe, fear not, we'll make it relevant for you. I promise. Now, I want to take a moment, as always, and thank you to those that are supporting the podcast. Whether it's in places like Patreon, where we've seen a nice little uptick recently in the level of support. Thank you for those responsible for that. To PayPal or telling others about the podcast, whatever it is, it's appreciated. You can learn more about supporting the podcast at whatisitaboutheweather.com/support. If you're interested in the Patreon element, you can simply just go to www.patreon.com/weather and learn more about supporting the podcast there. Wow. You know, I thought about, this is one of those times where I wish I had a little extra time this week to change the intro music. I definitely would have provided a nice fireplace, maybe a little windy outside intro. I have some music like that. Who knows? Maybe by the time I finish all this, I'll put it in place. Probably not. But certainly my weather this week has been ideal for being able to sit in front of a fireplace, which I don't currently have, so it would have made it a little tough for me to do. But I can tell you, if you look at the cover art for this week, and I know not everybody gets it and looks at it, but you can see this tiny little bit of snow that I took a picture of that's out a balcony that I stepped out onto this morning to put some plants back outside that have been, even though they're kind of winterish plants, have been harboring inside because the temperatures have been really cold. And that snow, it fell a couple days ago, and it's not a lot, but it really hasn't changed much. And while we've pushed a little bit above freezing, particularly yesterday, it wasn't enough to really make a meaningful difference. However, we're back above freezing, and it looks like we're going to be that way for a while. So I'm sure that snow is going to disappear in no time. But, we got to, I think, around 13 degrees Fahrenheit, which I think is negative 11 C, if I'm doing my calculations off the top of my head correctly. Something in that vicinity. So hopefully anybody can kind of put that in perspective of how cold that is for them. I know a lot of places, a lot of people listening, you're going, no big deal. And I agree with you. In the grand scheme of things, it may not be a big deal. But for moi, in this location specifically, that's pretty chilly. Not a lot of people used to dealing with those temps on a regular basis, which, we don't get that often. Actually, I came across a story this week about, everybody talking in the U.S. about how cold it is. There was this viral picture about eyelashes freezing, and I think it was in Russia. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested in that sort of thing. It was kind of a cute thing about you think you've got it bad. Well, this is what real cold feels like. It's a cute picture. Okay. Now, as you can imagine, one of the reasons I brought up the idea of talking about the flu today is right now we're in the midst of a major flu epidemic here in the U.S. Very strong flu season. Some interesting reasons behind that, but it's been a big topic of the news. And of course, as always, people start going, okay, is it the weather's fault, right? Is weather the reason that we have flu season peaks, if you will? And is weather responsible for the fact that I personally have gotten the flu this season? Now, let's lay a little groundwork on why this season's worse than others. As you know, for years now, we've had flu shots that have been available to help mitigate the exposure risk to the flu. But let's also be clear that it's no cure-all. It's a no one-stop shop for everything. Now, we hope to get there someday. But overall, the flu shot's not been particularly effective this year. And we found this out because actually the flu that we experience here in the Northern Hemisphere on an annual basis, what's coming tends to be foreshadowed, if you will, or projected, if you will, from the Southern Hemisphere in their peak season, which is also, in the midst of winter. But those in Australia, I told you, everybody around the globe, I was going to get into you. Australia, South America, they tend to get the first run of whatever the primary flu is going to be for the season. And quite frankly, the flu shot missed out. And I know there's a whole lot of prediction that goes on into what works and which flu shot we're going to go with. And this year, it just wasn't the right one, where it really wasn't going after the right thing. So this has meant a lot of coverage, a lot of talk about flu, and it hit a little earlier than normal this year in the U.S., and that's another thing that I think has thrown people off is the peak, and actually we now think we're in the home stretch, if you will. We've seen the worst of it. Doesn't mean it's going to lessen completely anytime soon. But that peak tends to be a little more kind of December to January, and this year it really got started in November. You know, and I got the flu shot this year, and I still had some sort of crud, which I think may have been flu, and the flu shot may have helped ease that, even if it didn't completely keep me from having to deal with the consequences. But in any case, let's talk about the flu with respect to the weather. Now, we've talked about weather and, if you will, diseases or illnesses before. Certainly, we did a weather and history where we talked about weather and the plague. We've also, way, way back in the beginning, and I'll put a link in the show notes, if you never saw the video episodes that we did back in the beginning when I was kind of flipping between the audio and the video components, there was one I did on rain and its role in things like thunderstorm asthma and why it smells certain ways after rain. And the focus was more on the rain and smells, but it's believed that the same sort of behavior, these kind of periods without much rain, and then we have the rain come in and do it, it can trigger these, what is being termed thunderstorm asthma, which is a very real thing. But for years, we've been trying to understand what role weather specifically plays in the transmission and the severity in every aspect of the flu, right? Now, of course, in researching all this stuff, I get tired of bad articles, and there were plenty of them out there for this, but also there was lots of good stuff. So I'm not going to dwell on the bad articles. You know, if you got the flu this year or had the flu this year, you know it just plain is not much fun. So you don't need me rehashing what dumb people write on the internet. But you should also know that the challenges with the flu, and this is something that I really didn't know well, it's very much an inflammation, which, of course, we all know, right? You've dealt with it, bad fever, you get these aches, but it can have lingering effects for weeks beyond. It can increase your risk of a heart attack and other things because it's so traumatic to your body, you know, whether it's people that die from the illness itself or people that have linger effects that put them at risk down the road, right? So while we've been trying to understand it for a very long time, the part of the question is why weather? Well, I think one of the reasons people want to blame it on the weather is it reduces the human cause exposure in terms of, you know, responsibility, if you will. So anytime we can push something off on the weather, it always makes us feel a little better because then we don't have to own up into, well, you know, was there something I could have done differently? It was just the weather, right? But we also have this problem whenever we're trying to explore a connection between something and the weather, particularly something like the flu, where it's a complicated scenario, and testing out theories, right? Can we really isolate the behaviors from a broader environment and all the other elements going on to determine how involved the flu is in connection with the weather? Is the weather really to blame? If so, how much is it to blame? Now, all that said, and all the complications, it'd still be useful to know, right? If we can say, hey, if we get to weather of this type of condition, you're going to be much more likely to get the flu, it'd be good to know, right? Because maybe then you step up your precautions that you would not go out of your way for because they're complicated or take a little more time. So what's the hypothesis behind why weather and why we see these peaks? So just so you know, generally in the mid-latitudes, our peak is this winter time, and that's no matter whether you're southern or northern hemisphere, right? We see this peak come, and then it seems like in the summertime, generally speaking, even late spring, summer, early fall, you know, everything's pretty cool. We don't have this problem with the flu. Not to say there are no cases of the flu, but it's significantly diminished, if you will. So why is that? All right, so let's say that there's the indoor component. And that's been a theory for a long time. I remember hearing it for years now, which is when it gets cold, people are more indoors, tighter environment, somebody coughs, infects more people. Sounds like a reasonable hypothesis, right? Lack of sun, which is one I don't know that I'd necessarily heard before, but it's been thrown out there that during the winter time, less sunlight available, less vitamin D, our immune system is down, is the longer theory with that. And I even saw things when it comes to weather, when it has to do with what's even going on in the atmosphere and how changes in the atmosphere and global type circulation might somehow lead to impacts related to the flu. But one of the reasons, as I mentioned, it's hard to separate us humans from the things going on around us, our everyday lives, other elements at play. However, since humans have been this, I don't know, host of the flu, if you will, and a lot of other creatures don't get the flu, it makes it even harder to test. Now, you could argue that, well, we should just test it on humans. But, you know, some people might die trying to do that. Probably not a good thing. Although, you could also argue, and I know a lot of people would, that testing this theory out on a bunch of different animals may not sit well with some folks, and I get that too. But let's talk about what's changed maybe in the last 10 years or so and why we think we're narrowing some aspects of it down and determine if that's really relevant. So back in 2007, so a little over, 11 years now, I guess it depended when it happened in 2007. A doctor by the name of Peter Palace, and I'm sure I'm probably saying that wrong. He's European in origin, works in New York now, came across an old journal article, something dated from like 80 years earlier. And it seemed to indicate that guinea pigs get the flu. Right, so here we've not been able to test things, and for the longest time it was because we had no method of running the test. So dude gets some, you know, he gets some guinea pigs together and he runs some tests on it. Right, a little easier to isolate. You can put them in a laboratory, give these things the flu. Now, I really didn't read into all the details of his research. I hope the guinea pigs don't get the flu as bad as we do. But the long and the short of his experiments showed that colder air and drier air, and not even necessarily relatively drier air, but much drier air. We know that, and we've talked about before, right, that wintertime air can't hold, well, cold wintertime air can't hold as much water vapor. So relative humidity can still be high, and the amount of moisture in the air is still going to be low, but what we're looking at, or what he looked at specifically, was absolute humidity. Now, he did, and evaluations have been done of relative humidity as well, but his focus was on just a specific amount of moisture content. And lo and behold, what he found is cold and dry, right, does it? That was the short answer, if you will. And there have been a ton of investigations since that research. So it was kind of a reblooming of investigations into the role of weather. And there's been a lot of it. There's a whole bunch of journal articles out there. I've tried to pick a few that I think you'll like and have put them in the show notes. So if this topic interests you, you can get a couple of news articles as well as a couple of journal articles. And the journal articles are very statistically based. So if you like that as well, you may find this interesting, even if the flu doesn't interest you in particular. But the theories, still, we had this challenge with, let's say it's cold, let's say it's dry, but why? What does that mean? Why are these guinea pigs who, when it was warmer and moisture, they didn't get infected versus when it's colder, drier, why was that? Well, there's kind of a couple theories that come into play. One of them is about the general transmission in a dry environment. So, you know, we cough out or we sneeze out these particulates that have the flu in them, right? And there's moisture around them. You don't just sneeze or cough, and it's not like just magically little virus bugs are out there. Whatever you cough out, I mean, we've all seen, you know, slow motion videos before. There's moisture. Drier air theoretically evaporates and allows that virus to remain airborne so that it hangs out longer instead of falling to the earth. And, you know, we're all hunky-dory. Nobody gets it because it fell quickly. So it hangs out in the air. You breathe it in, you get sick. The other thing that's been tested and has been shown to be true is that when it's really dry, the flu viruses tend to live longer and can live significantly longer. And this also, you know, if you've ever read anything about colds and being sick and how long things can stay alive on different surfaces, it's similar to that, except it has to do with the air. You know, different types of porous versus non-porous surfaces allow a virus or a contagion to live longer. In contrast, what this says is if it's dry, that viral contagion can live a lot longer. So there's just a better chance that people are going to inhale it and get sick. Okay? So in all this work after the fact, all these studies, and you know, they've looked at mid-latitudes, they've looked at the tropics, what did they find? Well, they found evidence to support those claims. As an example, in New York, they did a big study, and they found that colder air typically led to an increase in flu. And they found that drier air did the same. However, what was interesting to me in that is they didn't have a lot of cases for this New York examination of moist cold air because it's not a common occurrence in the city. It was the second most prevalent type of weather they said could deliver an increase in illness. But how do you really know? You know, have they really sorted that out? I'm not sure. You know, I saw cases one way or another, but a lot of times it is set up in environments that are by nature, when it's cold, it's drier. So a little tough to confirm that, but at some level it does seem to confirm it. But what we also found is in the tropics, rain. The flu peak tends to be at the height of the rainy season. That doesn't necessarily make sense. That goes into just a complete contrast to those theories proposed. And then, you know, at the subtropics, it's somewhere in between. You may have it favor one method versus the other. So we're back to the same thing, which is, are these really the cause? Is weather really the cause? Or is weather driving a behavior? And this would get back to the indoor theory, because I could easily sit here and say, all right, it's cold, it's wintertime, people are going to spend more time indoors. They're, you know, kind of cooped up with other people. Somebody coughs, gets everybody sick, versus when they're all out in the park doing outdoorsy things and those people aren't as close. And you could also argue that same thing in the tropics. Rainy season, people aren't hanging out outdoors. They're inside doing inside things. One person coughs or sneezes, other people get it. So I think it's real easy to point to weather maybe driving a behavioral change. And I still think that's real, because in all this research, we still don't fully understand the tight connection between weather. Because what it showed in the end, what all these, you know, research found in the end, and some of the follow-on studies, is even if we take out and just say just the mid-latitude where it's colder and drier, the change in the chance of you getting the flu was still in the single digits. So we now know that, yes, weather probably plays a role. It may even be directly connected to increasing your chance of getting the flu. But there's a lot of other things at play, right? It is just a piece of the equation. And again, if I start looking at it and I look at these different studies from different areas around the globe, my expectations are that it's probably less likely weather directly in terms of it changing the environment for how that flu contagion, or any contagion for that matter, lives and thrives and survives, and more likely something that it drives a behavioral change. Because they also found that even though it may help in the transmission, and this is the other interesting part, is even though these smaller percentages impacted whether I may personally get the flu from person B or vice versa, they're person A and I'm person B, it doesn't really matter. The level of the epidemic in a given year, how bad the flu season is, was not in any way confirmed to be associated with weather of a specific type. Now, that's just these studies, and I understand that. And part of it is because most of these studies tend to focus in on a little area. And so it's hard to look at an epidemic, which tends to be more spatially dispersed, and understand the connection between the weather elements, and the analysis would have to be more involved as well. But things have also changed over time. The amount of people we have traveling via air in these confined spaces that might infect one person, you know, it doesn't take much. You get on a plane, and I know this because I have always seemed susceptible to this, getting something when I travel, picking up something. And my speculation almost always has been that it's been airplane related, because you're stuck. For how many ever hours you're on a plane, you're stuck. You're breathing the air, someone coughs, and really if it's drier air, which quite often it is on a plane, so anybody that's ever flown knows, tends to be drier than you'd like it. So if this theory holds, that transmission of these things lasts longer, and someone coughs, and that air's basically just mingling around for the next hour or two, then how this thing might spread globally, or even regionally, or at a continental scale, doesn't really matter, is likely influenced by the way in which we travel today, which is why we get these big concerns whenever there are scares for whether it's Ebola or any of these viruses, how we want to try to isolate the amount of people coming and going from these countries until we know that they're not hosting these things. And I get that. You know, I certainly understand why that's the case. Short answer, is the flu the reason you got the weather? Is the flu the reason you got the weather? Listen to me. You know, I have this rule that I don't do podcast recordings before I've had at least a cup of coffee. And I think I now officially need to change that to 2 cups of coffee with that kind of statement. So back to what I was trying to say. Is the weather the reason you got the flu? Probably not. Might the weather have contributed directly? Sure. In certain circumstances, it seems that the case. Might it have contributed indirectly with a shift in behaviors? I think that that's still very realistic. But how we're ever going to prove it, I just don't know. But we're getting more sophisticated with our analysis, and there might be a way to do it with big data and machine learning and all these things to better isolate the key ahas and all this. And again, what we may learn is, yeah, it could influence it, but it's not the reason. All right. If you've had the flu this year, I hope that you're getting better and getting over it. You know, as with all these things, whenever I research these things, I learn a little bit more about, you know, how we fight the flu and why we get it, and how even when we've had it before might build up our tolerance to being able to not get sick again. I don't know. It's all kind of interesting. And, you know, it's also interesting because the flu, you know, it kind of mutates. And that's not even the right word. It doesn't necessarily mutate. It shifts from season and year to year as to which flu strain is the more prominent. And I'm sure that's part of its survival process or whatever it is. But definitely not fun. However, I will tell you that I'm not so sure, being a cold-blooded creature in my neck of the woods, that it's a good year for that. I was reading a story, and this was from a couple weeks ago when we got this first push of cold weather, but I thought it was interesting, and I didn't get a chance to bring it up last week. But Florida, as many people know, pretty tropical place, generally speaking. Lots of warmer, wet weather. Winters tend to be a lot milder, but every now and then the cold air dips in, and they've had a problem with iguanas. Yep, that's right. Iguanas falling out of trees and looking dead, but they're not necessarily dead. And that's been the big thing. Don't pick them up. Let them do their thing. They're cold-blooded. Most likely, they just got too cold and are basically, in their hibernative state. And when they warm up, they'll be able to do their thing and move on, or call somebody to come take it away. But don't think it's dead. That could lead you into a surprise as well. So the takeaway this week must be, don't walk into the path of someone who's just coughed or sneezed that has the flu on the way to pick up an iguana that looks like it's dead. But in all seriousness, I hope you haven't had the flu this past year, and if you did, you're pushing on through. It's not fun, as we all know that have had it, which most of us have at some point. Now, next week we're going to be talking about something that I picked up a little bit more on. It's a topic I've been, I don't know, trying to figure out the right way to bring it to you, and something happened at the AMS meeting that was kind of one of those stunning sort of moments. We don't have them that often there, and I thought I'd bring it to you guys, and I'll leave it as a little bit of a surprise as to what the topic's going to be. But in the meantime, if you have questions about the flu, about iguanas, about whatever it is, don't hesitate to reach out. You generally know the ways by now, I hope. What is it about the weather at gmail.com? Quick email, certainly can do it that way. Or what is it about the weather.com/contact? Go there, fill out the form. It sends me an email. It's kind of two ways to get me an email. Either way is fine. Love to hear from you guys. Again, whether it's feedback, whether it's thoughts on a show, whatever it might be, or just to say hello. That's always welcome as well. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you can learn more about supporting the podcast and the many ways which we kind of make sure that we keep plodding along here at whatisitabouttheweather.com/support. Doesn't have to be financial. Certainly that helps us. But there are a lot of ways that you can make sure that we're thriving as a podcast that's enjoyable for you and for others. But until next time, I will leave you with the thought that's kind of our motto here at the podcast, which is, when you're out there doing your thing and you're looking at a nice sunny day or a snowy day, whatever it is, stop for a moment. Look around. Look at how weather is influencing things that maybe you just hadn't thought about before. Because as we all know, there's much more to weather than the weather itself.
This is Two White Sofa Production.
We're tired of hearing our uncle grovel, so please support him on patreon.com/weather.